We'll go read some scriptures about what looked impossible. My Bible up there. Guess not. Okay, I'll use this one. We are going to look at... Maybe it's in your office. Probably is. Oh, thank you. I thought I had it in here. Turn to 2 Kings. Actually, turn to Luke 1. Excuse me, that's our first verse. Luke 1, 37. And then we'll go back to it at the end. This is our key verse. A lot of you may know what this verse says. Anybody know what it says right off without looking it up? Anybody? Good, you need a teacher. Okay. That's great. Keeps me employed. Luke 1, 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. As man and as humans, we put things on a very natural plane. We measure things by our circumstances. We measure them by what's going on. We measure them by what we see, what we hear, because we are created with feelings. We're created with natural feelings. That's why our eyes go to things that are pretty. That's why our ears like to hear gossip. And that's why our mouth likes to spread gossip. And that's why when you walk into a bakery and your nose smells them, if you go to that Amish bakery up in Hamptonville and you smell them cinnamon rolls, oh my goodness. It just fills the room. Just fills the atmosphere. And so we measure things by what we feel and what we can see and what we can touch, what we can taste. We're natural. But God doesn't work that way. God's on a spiritual plane that we're not on. And so when something looks like it's impossible to us, when the door looks shut to us, when the route looks like it's ended to us, when it looks like there's no else to go or no other place to go, that's when God shows up the most. And I've learned through my years as a Christian that God never does it the way we plan it. I say that all the time. And y'all know this. Man, you can draw it up. Here's how God's going to do it. But it never works that way. I mean, God always comes out of left field somewhere and does something so extreme and so different than what we had thought of just to show us he's God. And he don't need our help, church. He don't need our advice. We just need to allow him to do the impossible for us and trust that he can. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now let's read an example in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. This is the story of the little widow woman who needed a miracle. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you knowest that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." Back in this culture, she owed a debt. She couldn't pay it. She couldn't pay it. So they came to get her sons, her children, to work it off, to work the debt off. Boy, parents, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome, Bill? See Autumn, see you, David, go work her debt off. But she didn't want them to go, of course, and them be slaves, you know, to that. So Elisha said to her, the man of God said, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?" And she said, "Your handmaiden hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow you vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." In other words, expect big things, right? In other words, don't limit what I want to do for you. Don't think small scale. Think large scale. Think big. Sometimes I think our expectations are so low that we don't reap what God really wants us to reap because our expectations are too low. If we believe God can do anything, that means he can do anything. So he's telling her, don't borrow a few. Get as many as you can. "And when you are coming in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and you shall pour out into all those vessels that you should set aside that which is full." So she went from him. She shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stopped. It stayed. It stopped. When the last vessel presented, it ran out. Now, I love this story because it's kind of the fishing and loaves of bread, I think. I mean, here we have this little woman who had just a little bit of oil left. How could a little bit of oil fill all those empty vessels? Because God was in it. Because God says it ain't over yet. Just because you got a little bit of oil, because it looks bad, because they're coming to get your sons, because you got this huge debt you can't pay, that don't mean it's over. Let me show up for you and do something man can't do. Let me show up for you and create something that man can never create. And so she poured this oil. I mean, imagine this. I mean, you know, we got this bottle of oil, and I tell Grandma, I'll go get all these vessels. In Grandma's house, she'd have all kinds of stuff she could bring to me. Get all these containers and all these vessels. So I pour oil into one vessel, another vessel, another vessel. I mean, this is about 14 ounces of oil in this thing, and Grandma brings me 400 ounces worth of bowls. How's that possible? Because as the woman obeyed God, God took what she had and he stretched it to meet her need. He took what she had and he multiplied it to meet the need. Where did the oil come from? It came from the Creator, because he creates all things. So as she kept pouring, the oil kept coming as long as she had a vessel to present. See, church, God keeps on giving, and God keeps on blessing, and God's anointing is always there as long as we give him something to pour into. As long as we have a vessel to present to him, God will fill it up. So here this woman filled all these bowls up, and look at what verse 7 tells us. She came and told the man of God, here's all my vessels. He said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live you and your children of the rest. Now think about how much this was. She went from losing her children and being bankrupt to paying off her debt and living on the rest of it. This is how God blessed. This is how God moved upon her life. What seemed impossible, what seemed like there wasn't enough and the door was being closed, God supernaturally, in a moment, in an instant, opened it up. See, God can move in a moment. I mean, God can move in an instant. That's how God works. I told you about my blessing a few weeks back. Me and Melanie went up to Daniel Boone Inn in Boone. We went to eat one Sunday. And a couple months ago, we rode up there, and we're waiting in line, waiting in line. And I see a sign that says, you know, no debit cards, no debit or credit cards, just checks or cash. We didn't have a checkbook with us. And had an ATM machine there. So I went and put my card in. No money come out. I'm like, something's wrong. Melanie put her card in, no money, something, you know, whatever. And so what happened, they don't have a chip reader on their machine. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? I talked to the cashier. I said, look, you know, we drove all the way up here to eat. We're hungry. Been waiting 30 minutes, drove an hour and a half, and you're telling me you don't have a chip? I mean, you got an ATM that don't even have to work, because everybody got a chip on their card now pretty much. And so as I was talking, this guy walked up to me. He goes, how many is with you? I said, three. Or was it four? It was four. Christian was with us. I said, we got four. He went, hand me $100. Says, here, eat on me. I'm like, no, we'll go somewhere else. No, you need to eat here. I want you to eat here. It's on me. This man was like some kind of ghost. I mean, I don't know where he came from. Just kind of shot out and handed the money and went on. That was a blessing. That was a blessing to get that meal paid for completely. You know, that happened in a moment, in an instant. That's how God works. You know, we work our whole lives and we strive 20, 30, 40, 50 years working towards something. And God, in a moment, in an instant, can do what you couldn't done in 40 years. That's how God works. And so, it ain't over because it looks like it's over. Let's read another example. This is found in, what book are we going to? Luke, John. John 5. And I love this story too. John 5, this miracle of Jesus. This is talking about a man that had never walked. He was 38 years old, had never walked. And they had this pool near Bethesda that the angel would stir the water at certain times, and whoever was the first one to get into the moving of the waters would be healed of their infirmity. Well, this man had been laying there day in and day out, year after year, hoping to get healed. But when the water stirred, there was nobody to take him there. So he sat there helpless all those years until this moment. One. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Is that right? Verse 1. Yeah. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. That's a whole message right there. Waiting on the moving of the water. There's times we need to wait on the moving of the water. Just wait on what God is doing. Just wait and not get too far out. Just wait until He does the job. Till He directs, till He speaks, till He moves, till He works. So they're waiting on this moving of the water. An angel went down a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, as which had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Think how discouraging that would be. Think about that. Doc's back here and can't walk. The water stirs and everybody knows it. And Doc's like, I'm getting up there this time. He's walking. Gail cuts him off. Gets his healing. Doc's still crippled. So he goes back. Water moves again. He's on his way. Here comes Grandma. Old woman, what's she doing? My time to get healed. Time after time, he couldn't get there. Somebody got there before he did. So his situation remained the same until now. Jesus said, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. He didn't say get in the water, did he? He didn't carry him in the pool. He healed him where he was. He raised him up where he was. Sometimes we're looking for something somewhere, and God's wanting to do it in a different way somewhere else. He didn't have to go to the pool. God told him right then, rise up, I'm healing you right now. In an instant, 38 years, he'd wait on this moment. 38 years, he'd probably drew up on paper a game plan to get to the pool. You know, if I cut here and do a Omaha 64, I might get up there. I mean, all this time, he couldn't get there. And then in an instant, Jesus came by his way, and what looked impossible after 38 years became possible. This was, I mean, church, we give up now. I make fun of my daughter, Ashley. We'll be in a car listening to radio. I don't know how you are, Sasha, but, you know, she can't listen to a whole song all the way to the end anymore. Do you do that too? Just kind of does it to halfway, then turn to the next one, and depends on what it is. So we're in a car, and I say, oh, I like that song. That's an 80s song. Leave it on there. We're, you know, we're jamming it. And then she hit, what? It's not over. Well, I'm ready to something else. Listen to that one about 2 minutes through. Hits the next one. I'm like, my Lord, you know, why do you do that? Back in our cassette tape days, you put in a car, it's a little harder to do that because if you fast forward, you had to hit it just right to get to where you wanted it. So we just pretty much try to listen to it. Now they got playlists. They can just, no attention span. I mean, can't listen to one 3.5-minute song from start to finish. And I had a whole point of telling this, and I don't know what it is now. But anyway, do what? Exactly right. Apple far, far from the tree. But I forgot what it was. Oh, well, that's what I was saying. Anyway, we're in a generation now to where we pray for something, we believe for something, and man, God ain't answered. It's been 3 weeks. OMG, SMH, no way you're telling me that. Been 3 weeks that God didn't answer you. This man for 38 years had been waiting on a healing. 38 years. And Jesus showed up on time and healed him of his infirmity. There are situations in our lives that aren't going to be remedied overnight. And that's part of our walk of faith, that we just trust God. Are we just loving God for what he does for us? Or are we loving God for who he is in us? You know, do we worship God just because of the blessings? Or are we worshiping God because now we are the blessing? You know, and so people sometimes just give up too quick. They give up because God hadn't answered when they wanted them to. But not to hurt anybody's feelings, and I think old school Doc will agree with this with me, God's not on our timetable. We want him to be, but he's not. Because God sees the future. He sees every curve, every turn of our lives, every season. See, as most of you know, Sasha's going to the Army in, what, a month or so. And God already knows what her next season will be after that. She don't know that, I'm sure. She's just going to get in this season and see where it goes. But God already knows where she'll be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He has the path for her unfolded. He sees where she will be and the route she will travel. Aren't you glad you really don't know what tomorrow holds? You know, everybody says, oh, I wish I knew the future. I don't. I really don't. I am thankful that only God knows that. And my job is to trust Him every single day in the moment that I'm in and not worry about tomorrow, but enjoy today. The Bible tells us that. Don't fret over tomorrow. Can a man change 1 inch of his stature? Can a man increase any day of his life by worrying about tomorrow? In fact, you can rob yourself of a future by worrying about tomorrow. And so we spend so much time doing that that we don't enjoy the beauty of what God's given us today. So here is this man for 38 years who had probably been very discouraged, who probably in his mind thought, I will die in this condition. Probably thought I'll never be able to get there because somebody always beats me to the waters. But see, it didn't have to be the stirring of the natural pool water to heal him. It just had to take the stirring of Jesus to heal him. And he walked by and saw his need. He said, will you be made whole, and made him whole. It ain't over. Church, it ain't over yet. Luke chapter 8. Another miracle of Jesus. Luke 8. This is the woman who had the blood issue in her life. You know, none of us like problems. But we can have peace in the problem if Jesus is our Lord. We can have peace in the storm if Jesus is our Lord. Here's a woman who struggled with a physical condition for many years. She could find no help. She could find no healing. Look what it says, beginning with verse 43. A woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, she had spent all of her living upon physicians, and nobody could heal her. None could be healed. 12 years. She had a condition. She had spent money. She had spent time. She had spent resources. She had spent energy. And no man could heal her. But there was one that could. She came behind him, talking about Jesus. And she touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus says, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude is thronging thee. They're all around. They're all touching you. They're pressing on you. Why do you say, who touches me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. It wasn't over for this woman. She could have rolled the towel up and just lived with it, rest of her life. But God had a different plan for her. Sometimes our storms last a long time. Sometimes they're short-lived. But all storms, God will get us through. No matter how bad they seem, no matter how hard it is, doesn't matter how it looks now, it will look different later. The advice my parents gave me growing up was, you know, always sleep on a major decision. Always sleep on it because you have a different perspective the next day. And that's so true. I've used that rule in my life to where, you know, you just don't go do a major life decision on a whim. Take time to sleep on it at least one night. Wake up the next morning and see if you still feel the same. I don't know what changes that. I'm not exactly the science of why we feel different the next day, but you do. And if we could recognize and realize that the storm we're in now is not going to always be there. It will pass. It will pass. If nothing else, it will pass as we go into the kingdom. I went to a funeral yesterday. In fact, if you don't know this, you may not know it. Carolyn Lambert, who comes on usually Wednesday nights when she's here, her brother passed away. He was 64 years old.
and he passed away, but the family has so much peace because of his condition. Stage 4 throat cancer. They already took his voice box out. He was talking with one of those things. He already had a speech impediment to begin with. He had other physical issues. He had other surgeries awaiting on him to go through. And the family said, you know what? I'm glad it's over for him. I love him and I miss him, but I'm glad it's over for him. I'm glad the storm has passed for him. It's a season of grief for the family, but that grief is also a season of joy. It's amazing how in a storm, we see the storm, but if we look a little closer, we can see the beauty of the storm. We can see the silver lining in the cloud, so to speak. There's something we can still see. You know when a rainbow is formed? We all know how a rainbow is formed. It's formed when it's raining and sun at some time, right? It's amazing. The sun will be shining, be pouring down rain. And what do you see in the middle of that? That big old rainbow. That rainbow is showing its colors in the storm, letting us know, reminding us, we are not alone, and this storm will pass. It ain't over because it looks over. Don't give up, and don't give in, and don't let go. And don't become so discouraged that you stop believing for that breakthrough in your life. You stop believing for that deliverance in your life. You stop believing for that healing in your life. The devil's great about telling you and showing you the picture he wants you to see. They're never going to change. It's always going to be this way. You're always going to be stuck like this. You're always going to be sick like this. But when God's in it, nothing is impossible. No matter how it looks, with all respect, no matter what the doctor says, they're not God. And when a doctor gives you a poor diagnosis, that don't mean it's over. That don't mean it's time for you to pack up your bag and just say, you know what, the doc said this, so it's over. Only God can control that door. God is over our life, over our mind, over our soul, over all that we are. God is over that. God is the supreme, final, ultimate authority of our lives. So it ain't over because man says it's over. You know, I remember back several years ago when the Red Sox and Yankees went to the World Series. I went to the playoff to go to the World Series. And for the American League pennant. This was back, I remember what year, early 2000s, I think, mid-2000s. But if you remember this, if you watched any baseball, the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox. They were up 3-0 in a 7-game series. The Red Sox came back and won 4 straight to win the pennant. That was unprecedented. Remember last year's Super Bowl, which is the sorriest of all time, by the way, the sorriest of all time. But anyway, last year's Super Bowl, Falcons were up 28-3. Should have been over. But it wasn't. The fat lady hadn't danced. It wasn't over. Patriots came back and won that game by 1 point. Now, yeah, we know it was rigged. But the point is, it wasn't over. We see things in life that seem like they're insurmountable. Do you know Michael Jordan got cut from the high school basketball team? Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. What if he'd have said, oh, well, I guess I'm not good enough. It's over. We'd have missed a lot of good years, wouldn't we? Of seeing some great, great magic. I was at the gym today, and this guy was beside me, and I heard him talking. He told me, he said, hey, man, I said, this girl never heard of Michael Jordan. I'm like, how old are you? She said, 18. I said, you've never heard of Michael Jordan? Uh-uh. I said, where have you been? There was a point in time he had the most recognizable shadow in the world. Shadow. They would show a silhouette of his head, and it was the most recognizable silhouette in the world. She hadn't heard of him. I said, you hadn't heard of Michael Jordan? I said, you need to. She started getting on the phone and Google it. Like, my Lord, where you been? But anyway, that hadn't anything. I'm just saying, he got cut, and look what he ended up becoming. We see stories, and we hear stories in our natural life of where it looked like it shouldn't have happened, but it did. Where the diagnosis looked terrible, but God healed. Where the marriage looked broken, but God restored. Where the child was so rebellious it looked impossible, but God saved. So it ain't over because it looks like it's over. Appearances can be very deceiving. So don't always judge a book, so to speak, by its cover. Let's read one more scripture. We'll close this out. I've got a very light job for y'all tonight. I ain't told you yet. It's very light, though. It won't take long, I promise. They're not a donut, darling. I'm sorry. But we'll feed you Sunday. And there's cake. We'll have cake Sunday. So there'll be dessert. Luke chapter 1. Let's go back to Luke 1. Close out with this. Begin with verse 31. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. This is the angel talking to Mary. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, that's all, of course, come to pass, as we know. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How shall this be, angel, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to carry a child if I've not slept with a man? How's it possible, angel? I mean, that just can't happen. The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mother, she shall also conceive a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Jesus came. John the Baptist was born of a barren womb. Sarah had a child from a barren womb. The Red Sea was parted by the hand of God. Joseph was delivered by the hand of God. Samson did great feats by the hand of God, where everything looked impossible, where the door looked shut. God showed up. One man called Goliath had a whole army afraid to fight. But God raised up one little boy, one little young teenager, to say, I don't need all your armor. I don't need all your fights. I don't need all your swords. I don't need all you skilled soldiers. Just give me somebody that knows it ain't over. Just raise me somebody up that'll cry in the wilderness, it ain't over yet. And David stood before that giant with no reservation and took him down by the word of the Lord. That's what God is wanting us to see. Because the giant is standing there, don't mean he's going to destroy you. Because the water is blocking you, don't mean you won't cross. Because you're in a dungeon right now or a pit, don't mean you're not going to come out. Because you're sick, don't mean you're not going to be healed. Because you're broken, don't mean you're not going to be fixed. It ain't over. God, all things are possible with him. So trust that and believe that and be encouraged by that. Because he's still the God of yesterday. He's still a God of old. All these stories and miracles read about, God is still doing it. Me and Roger were talking the other day, and he shared this with me. I thought it was good. I'm going to share it to church. I thought it was great. He was talking about how the books of the Bible have been, you know, most of them have been closed. Of course, they've been closed. The books of the Bible have been closed. But he said the one book's not been closed is the book of Acts. Acts hasn't been closed. Acts has been happening ever since Acts was written. Think about that. Acts is still ongoing. Healings, prophecies, miracles, building churches, sharing the gospel, even being martyred for the gospel. All of that is still happening. And I like what Roger said. He says, we are actively writing Acts out every single generation, because we are still walking in the acts of God. And I thought it was good. See, a lot of people teach that's closed and that God doesn't do that. And that was for a certain time. And God overpowered them to get the church jump-started. Well, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of churches need jump-started again. I mean, it's like, clear! You know? So, I just thought that was wonderful. And I appreciate you sharing that with me, Roger. I thought that was great. We are. Church, every one of us are still writing out the acts, everything that we do, when a miracle is performed, when we lay hands on someone, when we see them recover, when all these things and all the things that all the seeds were sown for the kingdom and all the people being born again and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and all those things are still happening. And so it's not closed. It's not yesterday. God didn't just do those few things for a few certain people and say, oh, well, I've showed off enough. That's it. I mean, my God. Remember the time the Holy Ghost fell upon you. Remember the time you wept with sorrow for your sins and you leaped with joy for your redemption. Remember that day when God called you, who didn't deserve to be called at all, but he called you out of your darkness and he saved you and he filled you and he changed you. You were one of those 5,000 that stood outside the upper room that said, what must I do to be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You are one of those. My grandma was one of those 5,000 after that came to the knowledge of Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost. And God ain't done yet. Oh, the world looks bad, but God's still good. And the world looks dark, but God's still light. And the world looks evil, but God's still great. And the world looks like it's slipping away, but God's still raising it up. Because he is in control. The sun still rises and sets by the hand of God. And all the sin in the world can't change that. He's still the creator. And he's still got a call for people. He's still got a word for people. He's still got a people that's going to come out of what they are in and walk in what he has prepared for them. God's not done. And church, we're not done either. So if we're on this side of the dirt, we better be doing something for God. And saying, God, don't be done with me either. I want to do something. And I got something for y'all to do tonight. Y'all ready? I hope Christy ain't done it. I don't know. I guess she's back there doing something. I got all tablecloths tonight. I went and picked them up earlier today. And she may be doing it. I don't know what she's doing. But if y'all can hang out, a few of you, and just put tablecloths out, that's all it is. Light duty, nothing heavy. Even Doc can do that. Might have to pack up for him, D, but I think he can take it from there. Take the tablecloth out, if you would, and get them covered. We got 20 round tables, and there's like seven or eight rectangle tangles. That'll just get us a little bit ahead for Sunday. Well, I got all the hands here to do that. Instead of me and Melon trying to go over here one day and do all of them tablecloths. Just, if y'all can handle that, that will be great. Open them up, spread them out. And that's it. That's all I got for you tonight. So I appreciate that. And then be ready Sunday morning. We'll have a beautiful service Sunday morning. Beautiful service celebrating 15 years of ministry and also dedicating our new building. So we're excited about that. And I hope everybody can hang out for that. We are going to feed everyone following the service. It'll be a normal, probably normal length service. We'll try to get out in the new building by about 11:30 to have lunch together. And I hope you hang out and do that. But it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. And we're thankful for this time has finally come for us. So we really are. All right.